Welcome to the Oxford Education Deanery Podcast. In this series, we explore the latest research from the Department of Education at the University of Oxford and discuss the real-world implications for teachers, parents, and policymakers. Each of our podcasts is accompanied by a Deanery Digest, which is a short, plain language summary of the research, which can be downloaded from our website.
Hello, it's Laura Mulway here from the Oxford Education Deanery. Today I'm here with Dr. Nikki Sims, and we're going to be talking about her research in the field of medical education with a particular focus on assessment. So welcome, Nikki.
Thanks, Laura.
Great to have you here. So the Deanery Digest that we're going to be talking about today is titled, What Do Clinician Educators Really Think About Assessment? Before we begin, could you explain a little bit about what you do here in the Department of Education and what brought you to this topic?
Sure. So this is actually from my doctoral research from a few years ago. But basically, I was a cancer researcher once upon a time. And then I moved into the field of education, health science education, or we call it medical education or health professions education. And my particular interest is in assessment. Because you might have heard that assessment drives learning or assessment drives student learning behaviors. And I think it's often an under-researched or under-considered aspect of education. Sort of teaching and learning and curriculum get a lot of important energy, but assessment, I think, is just as important. And that's sort of where I focused my research.
I see. Great. Thank you so much. And so for this particular piece of work, what is it all about and why do you think it's important?
Sure. So specifically within the health professions, assessment has very serious consequences. You're not just sort of writing a test for a pass or fail. You're actually saying if they're safe for public practice. And so, not to be overly dramatic, but patient lives could be at stake. And so we want to make sure that assessment is done really well. And someone that's under-considered within the assessment practice is a person who sort of thinks about it, designs it, implements it. We specifically looked at clinician educators who conceptualize assessment. So how do they think about it? How do they understand it? And do those understandings actually influence what they end up doing?
I see. So this was really talking to the experts about their practice?
Yes. But I guess perhaps the irony in medical education is that those who teach and assess are not trained teachers or assessors. And so while they might be considered the experts or at least the individual responsible for assessment, we didn't actually really know what they thought about it. So we're going right down to the basics. First, instead of assuming, what do they actually think about it? How do they conceive of it? And that's what the study focused on.
Okay, great. Can you say a little bit more about the nuts and bolts of the study? So how did you go about trying to find out what these clinicians actually really think?
So the technical term is that this was a phenomenographic study. You don't need to worry about that. But with phenomenography, you look at something called conceptions. Mm-hmm. And a conception is just another word for understanding. Except these understandings are sort of multidimensional. So it's not just sort of a uniform single descriptor. They can have multiple aspects. And importantly, they exist within or along a spectrum. So you can think of it as sort of more simple or basic understandings towards more complex and advanced understandings. So simply put, we interviewed clinician educators, sort of, I think, 31 clinician educators at three different medical schools. Two were in South Africa and one was in Mexico.
All right. So you have a good spread in terms of geography then.
Yes. We wanted to maximize diversity from southern settings or places in the global south because at least in our field, scholarship is definitely dominated by the global north. Mm-hmm. So because these perspectives were underrepresented, we wanted to specifically focus on these southern sites.
I see. Well, and the sort of important question, I suppose, is what did you find out?
Sure. So we have sort of four conceptions of assessment. The first we called the passive operator. The second we called the awakening inquirer. The third is the active owner. And the fourth is a scholarly assessor. And the different dimensions that describe those four different ways of thinking is how they understood the purpose of assessment, its temporal impact. So was it a sort of a today focus, I just need to get it done, or a longer term tomorrow focus, thinking about how assessment influences the future development of these healthcare workers, how they understood their role and responsibility as an assessor. Are they just an administrator? Do they need to record a mark? Or are they actually there to sort of guide student development? What their assessments were accountable towards. So is it towards, you know, the institution or the profession? Or is it towards the student and their learning? Or the social accountability towards the patient and broader society? Mm-hmm. Then their degree of reflexivity. So were they just passively accepting assessment, you know, not questioning it, just reproducing what's always been done? Or were they beginning to wonder, is this really the best way of doing it? And sort of being critically reflective about their assessment. And the last one is emotional valence or their attitude. So did they think of assessment in quite negative terms? It's a burden, something just need to, you know, get over with. Or did they actually view it as something very valuable and important and therefore had more of a positive attitude towards assessment?
Okay, it's fascinating that the number of different aspects of thinking that you've looked at.
Yeah.
When you think about the individual case studies behind that data, are there any examples that stand out? Perhaps an example of a scholarly assessor and one of somebody who's less
sure.
developed in their thinking?
Yeah, so sort of on the, I don't want to say the lower end of the spectrum, but the more sort of less reflexive conceptions as the passive operator, especially. I mean, I can sympathize with that type of clinician educator because they're really prioritizing their clinical work. So their professional identity, they'd say, you know, I'm a doctor, I'm not a teacher. This is something extra.
Yes.
They just, you know, they have patients they have to see. And so I get it that they just want to get it done. It's just a sort of another task. They just need to organize it. And I'm sure teachers could relate to that. It's just another thing they need to juggle. Whereas a scholarly assessor, they were sort of much rarer. We didn't see them often, but they would be someone who I'd call is evidence-based or evidence-informed. So they were trying to look at educational or assessment research. So they were consumers of assessment scholarship, and they might have even been an assessment leader. So within their department, you know, that's the person I go to ask, you know, how to do this assessment, or do they have any advice, or that's support for the other colleagues in the department. So I can sort of empathize with the whole range. But I guess the concern within medicine or the health professions that if we have people who are very much passive operators who are just kind of ticking boxes, then the concern is, are we letting students go through who are perhaps unsafe? Because we need to always adopt that long-term perspective of what are the ultimate consequences of this assessment.
Yes, yes, which can be incredibly high stakes in this
field.
Yes. I think my final question for you is really to listeners out there who might be themselves designing, practicing assessment within the field of medical education. Are there any lessons from this work that speak to them?
So if you're already listening or reading a Deanery Digest, well done. I think you are towards that higher end of the spectrum where you really are concerned. You're critically thinking about assessment. You have that desire to enhance it. But to the faculty developers, that's something I'm interested in. I think we can be very guilty of saying, you know, assessment's important, and then we just dive right in with an intervention or some sort of training. And instead, we make assumptions about the conceptual starting point of different clinician educators. And what we've seen is that there's a diversity of ways of thinking about assessment, but that they also exist along a developmental spectrum. So there is a potential for us to help develop different ways of thinking and to advance those conceptions. We first need to know what type of understanding they have. So hopefully I would sort of get practitioners and faculty developers to think about, okay, what is my understanding of assessment? Where do I see myself along the spectrum? And then think about, okay, how can we advance those understandings and then hopefully enhance assessment practice?
Okay, I think that's great advice for teachers everywhere to always be aware to diagnose, you know, actually where your students are at in terms of their understanding, and perhaps sometimes yourself as well when you're
definitely
looking for self-development. Thank you so much, Nikki. Is there anything else you would like to add about this study?
Just that we did, when comparing our model to the literature, we saw that it sort of encompassed both the health professions education literature, but also higher education and basic education. So again, there is support that this way, these different ways of understanding do apply to teachers and to other professionals. So hopefully there is some transferability to these other disciplines.
Absolutely. Okay, great. Thank you so much, Will.
Thanks, Laura.
You've been listening to the Oxford Education Deanery podcast. To find out more about the research featured in today's episode and everything else the Deanery has to offer, visit our website and sign up to our newsletter. You'll find the links in the show notes.